Once again, welcome to all whom we have. I know as it was mentioned in the announcements, we do have visitors with us today, and we are grateful for you. We are glad that you are here, and we do want to invite you back at every opportunity that you have. And should you have questions about something that I say in this lesson, or should you have questions about something that you observe in the way that we worship God, we would be more than happy to sit down and give you an answer according to God's Word. We fully understand that whenever we assemble together, it's not about us. It's about God. It's about glorifying God, and we realize that according to the example of Scripture, that to glorify God, we have to do what He says, and we have to do it the way that He tells us to do it. So that's what our worship is about. And may God be glorified, and may the things presented in this lesson be true to His Word. It was also mentioned in the announcements that our gospel meeting is rapidly approaching. 3 weeks from today, that meeting begins. And, of course, that means it is certainly something that we need to be thinking about. And with that in mind, if you'll notice the bulletin today, I've been in correspondence with J.R. And he sent me a list of his topics. And so those are available on the front of the bulletin. And I will have flyers available by this coming Sunday so that you can pass them out to your friends and invite them. You may notice if you have a bulletin that Monday through Friday night, he's going to be presenting a series of lessons on the subject of reverence. And this is, actually I asked him if he would do this, because this is, I've heard some of these lessons before, and it just reminds us of some things that we need to think about. So if you can be here, I know you will be edified and strengthened by hearing these lessons, and they will be good to bring your friends and neighbors too as well. So be praying for the success of this effort and resolve to do all that you can to make this effort successful. And if you've got your outline for the lesson, you'll notice tonight we're going to be preaching on a successful gospel meeting. And so we'll talk about that more then. One other real quick thing I wanted to mention before I begin is Terry and I are going to be resuming our Mark Your Bible study on Friday night. It's going to be next Friday the 23rd, and the only reason I'm mentioning that now is it was originally scheduled for the 30th, but since that is the Friday right before the meeting, we decided to move it up a week. So if you want more details, see me afterwards, and we'll get you information on that. And again, that's next Friday, September the 23rd. That having been said, on to the lesson at hand. Over the course of the past several weeks and throughout this year, we've been dealing with the responsibility of Christians toward others, studying various things associated with that. And starting a few weeks ago, we began to notice how we as Christians have responsibility toward one another as brethren. And one of the ways that we have established that is we have noted a number of one another passages within the New Testament. We've talked about how we are to love one another, how we are to care for one another, how we are to properly greet one another, and various other things associated with that. And today we're going to talk about the subject of being kind to one another. And I ask you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse number 32. We're actually beginning in verse 31. Paul there says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Now, I know that from this pulpit, we have emphasized the importance of kindness from time to time. As a matter of fact, we frequently visit that as a portion of other studies. But today we want to just focus on kindness and our need to be kind to one another. And I will tell you right now that this is something that it is very important that we understand this. And as we continue to look at the world that we live in, which kindness is woefully lacking in many instances, we need to be shining as lights as what kindness is about. And we need to be treating one another with kindness as opposed to the way that the world treats us. And so it is important that we consider, as Paul told these brethren in Ephesus, that we be kind to one another. This word kind is a word that is defined as to be benevolent or to be good or to be pleasant, to possess the nature of goodness and pleasantness in our lives, to be somebody who is benevolent. And that's associated with the idea of kindness. There's actually two different words in the Greek New Testament that are translated kindness, and in both instances there are other words associated with it. For example, the word goodness is sometimes this same word, and it gives us an idea of what we're dealing with. The first one is this word Christos, and it is a word, again, that is defined as being gracious or considerate, using terms such as being warm-hearted, decent in your dealing with others, being upright. When I think of the idea of kindness, I think of that which is the opposite of harshness. I think of the opposite of hatefulness in the way that we treat each other. Another word that we find, and this is just found a few times, is the Greek word of philanthropia. And if that sounds familiar, the word philanthropy is based upon this Greek word. And what is somebody that is philanthropic? Or I don't know how you pronounce that, or somebody that demonstrates philanthropy. It is somebody that shares with others, right? He is kind-hearted. He is generous in his dealing with others. And when we think of the idea of kindness, that is what comes to mind. Interestingly, in Titus chapter 3 and in verse number 4, Titus chapter 3 and in verse number 4, Paul there says, "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us," and he goes on and describes some more about it. This, the King James Version says, "the kindness and love of God." Interestingly, that's both Greek words there. It's that we're talking about with kindness. The first word there, that Christos, is that first word that is described as kindness. And then the word love is this Greek word for philanthropy. And certainly that describes the nature of God, and we're actually going to see that a little more as we seek to understand what is involved in kindness. Now, in all of this, we've given a definition of what kindness is, and what kindness actually involves. But if truth be known, do we really have to define it? We know what kindness is. We can see kindness. I sometimes describe kindness as a universal language. And that is, it doesn't matter where you are, people can see and they understand kindness. And they understand hatefulness and harshness as well. And they understand how we're trying to be kind. You know, I remember when I was in the military, I spent 15 months over in Germany, and where I attended worship services, I had to take a train and would travel about 35, 40 miles, or I'd travel 35 to 40 miles each direction. I would do this on Wednesday and over the weekends for Sundays and so on. And let's just say I didn't know a lot of German. but I knew enough to get around. But my point in all of this is, you know, people might not have been able to understand my German, but when I had a question, I tried to present it in a kind way, you know, with a kind disposition. And people will go out of their way to help you when they see kindness. They will work with you more than if you have a harsh or a haughty or a bitter or an angry attitude, the types of things that Paul told us to put away in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse number 31. So we understand what kindness is, and we need to seek to apply that in our lives. In Scripture, in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse number 12, we find a passage similar to what we read in Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul talks about this kindness that we are to have toward one another. Colossians 3 and in verse 12 he says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another." Put on kindness. Wear it. And it is interesting to note there that Paul doesn't say, if you're somebody who is naturally inclined toward kindness, then show it. He says, put it on. He says, wear it. Even if you struggle in putting that on, do it anyways. Try to be somebody who has this type of a disposition in your life. Kindness is associated with love. When you look at the description of love, and we've talked about this in times past in 1 Corinthians 13 and 4, as Paul begins to describe love, he says, love suffers long and is kind. We've talked about in Romans 12 and verse number 10 just a couple of weeks ago how we are to be kindly affectionate toward one another. And again, that is that word philostorgos, which talks about the love of a brother and a love of friendship and ties the two of them together. Some versions use the idea of kindness being associated with that affection. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse number 7, as Peter is describing what we call the Christian graces, you add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge patience, or self-control, patience, godliness. Some versions say brotherly kindness or brotherly love, and to that you add charity or love. Brotherly kindness. That's the way we describe that, the Greek word Philadelphia sometimes. And that is the Greek word that means the love of a brother. Brotherly kindness. It's related to our love for one another. In Galatians chapter 5 and in verse number 22, kindness is a fruit, a product of the Spirit that is in our lives, in contrast to the works of the flesh, which we are to not have in our lives as Christians. So we can see over and over that it is emphasized that we need to have love, or we need to have kindness in our lives as Christians. You see, kindness, if you want to learn about kindness, consider the kindness that God demonstrates toward us. We have good examples of that in Luke chapter 6 and in verse number 35. In Luke chapter 6 and in verse number 35, as Jesus is there speaking, He says, love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be like sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the unthankful and evil. So you want to learn about when we ought to be kind? Look at that verse. It's not just something to be demonstrated toward those who are kind to us. It is something that we are to have at all times. But I want you to note in this verse that it talks about the kindness of God. In Romans chapter 2, in Romans chapter 2 and in verse number 4, Paul there, he says in that particular verse there, he says, do you despise the riches of His goodness, that is the goodness of God? Do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? That word goodness is this same Greek word that we translated, charitos, that is associated with kindness in our lives. And when you think about God, it is His kindness that causes us to move toward Him or to submit to Him. In Romans chapter 11 and in verse number 22, we read in that particular text, Paul there says, he says, therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity. But toward you, goodness, if you continue in His goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. Three times Paul uses this word, behold the goodness or the kindness and the severity of God. And those who are good, those who are kind to others, God will show His kindness toward you. That is emphasized in that particular text. In Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse number 7, where Paul is talking about the grace of God. He makes the point there in verse number 7 that He raised up Christ, and He said that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God shows us the exceeding riches of His grace through His kindness. Titus 3, verses 4 through 7. Once again, Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7, we read in this particular text, it says, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should be heirs according to the hope of eternal life." It is the kindness and love of God that gives us hope. We read in 1 Peter 2 and 3, "If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." That word "gracious" is the idea of our kindness. So we find in all of these verses, and in many others, the need for kindness. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 18, Jesus there talks about if you want to be forgiven, you need to be willing to forgive others the way that God has forgiven you. And that's a demonstration of our kindness toward one another. The book of Proverbs actually deals with kindness. In Proverbs 19 and in verse number 22, Solomon there wrote, "What is desired in a man is kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar." The word for kindness, again, you find it demonstrated in this text here. In Proverbs 20 and in verse number 28, you read there that mercy and truth preserve the king, and by loving kindness he upholds his throne. A good ruler is a ruler that is kind to his people. And then there's Proverbs 31 and in verse number 26. And what is interesting about this passage is it describes the virtuous woman, verses 10 through 31. And in the midst of that description, it says of her that she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. It's an interesting expression within itself that we'll talk a little more about in a few minutes. She shows kindness in her words. That's one place where we need to demonstrate kindness. One more observation before we move on to being kind toward one another is there's a sense in which we ought to avoid or limit our exposure to those that are not kind. That's something for us to think about. Paul warned us in 1 Corinthians 15 and in verse number 33 that evil company corrupts good habits or good morals, as some versions say. It corrupts. It will corrupt you. If you associate with those that are bitter all the time, if you're friends with those who treat others harshly and hatefully, there's a potential for that to rub off onto you and to become a part of your character in your life. Avoid such. In Proverbs chapter 22, verses 24 and 25, Solomon said, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his way and set a snare or a trap for your soul." Avoid those who have ungodly qualities and dispositions. Don't let them be your mentors. Don't let them be the one who you're seeking to follow and imitate. Seek to imitate those who are gracious and generous and good and kind. That ought to be your brethren. That's one of the points for us to think about. Because you see in Scriptures, as we've already noted, it is necessary that we be kind toward one another. And I will tell you right now that kindness is something that needs to be demonstrated toward all. You're not just kind toward those that are kind to you. We need to be kind to everyone. It needs to be our way of life, if you will. As we talked about last week in Hebrews 10 and verse number 24, consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. We need to be thinking about each other. And if you're considering your brethren, that's going to affect the demeanor that you have around them. That's going to affect how you respond to them. And that's going to be seen in kindness. You know, I'm reminded of Job in the sixth chapter of the book of Job, where he says, "To him who is afflicted, kindness should be shown by his friend, even though he forsakes the fear of the ungodly." Be kind is what he is saying there. It is something that needs to be prevalent toward everybody, even toward those that are not kind, even toward those who reject God. There's no need to treat others hatefully. Now, you might have to, in love, reject somebody, but there's a difference between that and being hateful toward somebody. We need to be kind toward everyone, and that would include ourselves as brethren. And one of those reasons is, as we talked about a little bit last week, as we consider one another and as we have a proper attitude toward one another, kindness can help us to overcome evil. We're told in Romans chapter 12, verses 20 and 21, not to be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. A lot of times, like with greeting one another, which we've been talking about, the proper greeting and the proper attitude can disarm somebody. And a lot of times when somebody is upset and they're angry and they're acting with harshness, one of the best things you can do is to not respond in kind. Respond in a calm and in a kind manner. And just see what that will accomplish. You know, with all these problems that we see in society, how would things be different if those with authority and those in other positions acted with kindness as they were trying to diffuse some sort of a volatile situation that is taking place, rather than responding in kind and in harshness and bitterness and so on? We need to be kind toward one another. We need to practice what we call the golden rule, which is what Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse number 12. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Not do unto others as they have done unto you. Or don't do unto others what they don't do unto you. Or do unto others before, which is the attitude of so many today, before they do it to you. You do unto others at all times the way that you want them to treat you. You treat them that way at all times. That's just the attitude that we need to have. And that just includes not only those of the world, but it includes our brethren. I will tell you right now that kindness is the way that we are to respond to bitterness. Going back to our text, as we noted at the very beginning of this particular study here, where he said there in verse number 31, "You let this bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you." When you have that disposition, this is the demonstration. How do you respond to that? With kindness. You are kind to one another. And that's the way we need to be. Kindness can open doors. It can present opportunities for you to teach somebody. How many people want to associate with somebody that at the first time they meet them, they're treated harshly or hatefully? They're treated as they're unimportant. They're treated as if you don't care, as if they're a bother. Or even worse than that, you snap at them. And you treat them harshly. How many people, if they're visiting with you, are going to return if that's the impression that they get? You know, from brethren within a congregation. And I know it needs to be said, you know, just for sake of clarification, I don't think we got that problem here. And I'm grateful for the way that we demonstrate a love for one another. Now, does that mean we're perfect? Not by a long shot. Are there times when we become a little bit too forward, a little bit too brash, bitter, you know, in our conduct? Probably. But generally, with those who are visiting with us, we demonstrate kindness. That gives you opportunity. That provides you opportunity. Maybe they'll return. That might give you an opportunity to further discuss the Word of God with that individual. And what about somebody that is in error? When a brother is overtaken in a fault, do you go to them and beat them over the head? Is that the best way to get them to see the error of the way? Now, I know sometimes that's needed, but typically it's later on. At your first approach, you go to them in a kind and a gentle manner, and you show them your concern. And then go from there. How many are willing to receive correction when it is presented with kindness and love, which needs to be present? Kindness is needed in order to properly forgive one another. And again, in our text in Ephesians 4 and verse number 2, as he says, you're kind to one another and you're tenderhearted and you forgive one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. I could show you in Scripture where it says if you want to be forgiven, you've got to forgive others. And you know when I say that in more than one passage. Multitudes of passages remind us that the way God's going to show mercy to us is the way we show mercy to others. The way God is going to forgive us is the way we forgive others. Just look at the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. The only thing He elaborates on after what we call the Lord's Prayer. The model prayer that He gives. We have to forgive others. And we have to do it with kindness. You don't do it as an I have to type of a gesture. You do it out of love. And you do it with a proper disposition. You know, I'm reminded of Joseph in Genesis chapter 50 and in verse number 21. And to give you the context, that's the last chapter of Genesis. Jacob, Israel, is dead. And his brothers say, you know, now that our father's dead, is Joseph going to give us what we deserve? And that's not the wording they use, but there was a fear. There was a fear that now that Israel's gone, will he treat us harshly because of what we did to him? And Joseph calls them together and assures them, I'm not going to do that. As a matter of fact, it says in verse number 21 of Genesis 50 that he spoke kindly to them. And he assured them, you're okay. I'm going to take care of you. It's all right. Isn't that what's needed sometimes in when somebody's apprehensive? When somebody's uncertain and unsure what's going on, do we show kindness to one another in that? And again, and we're not going to read this again, but be reminded. Be reminded who showed kindness to us. You know, when you're mistreated by somebody and you say to yourself, you know what, well, they deserve what they're getting. That's not what we're talking about right now. Maybe they do. But do you deserve what you're getting from God? Do you deserve the mercy of God? Do you deserve the grace of God? He's going to give it anyways. So if you want to learn kindness, look at the example of God toward us. We need kindness throughout our lives. And as Tony was leading this last song just a few moments ago in that last verse, it talked about how we need kindness in our words. It has to be demonstrated in our lives. In Colossians chapter 4 and in verse number 6, Colossians chapter 4 and in verse number 6, where Paul says in that verse there, he says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer each one. The idea of a gracious conversation, speech seasoned with salt, means you're tempering your words, you're controlling what you say and how you say it. And again, I'm reminded of that Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 26, where it says the law of kindness is on her heart. And what I find interesting there is it's described as a law. You ever thought about that? The law of kindness. It's a way that we are to be. It's an understood way. And societies understand that that's the way we're supposed to be. So we need to demonstrate kindness in our words toward one another. But we also need to demonstrate kindness in our demeanor or our example or our disposition in life, if you will. in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul there, beginning in verse number 3, says to us, "We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be ashamed, or that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, tribulation, needs, distresses, stripes, imprisonments, tumults, labors, sleeplessness, fasting, by purity, knowledge, long-suffering, kindness, by the Holy Spirit, and by sincere love, by the word of truth," and so on. And I know I left out some words in there, but the point is the demeanor of Paul, the demeanor of the apostles was one that included kindness. And in other words, what I'm saying there is it's a habit. It's something that needs to become a part of who you are. It needs to become a way of life. It's not something that you just, you know what, I better put on kindness right now. You know, this is a situation, I'm not kind, it's going to blow up. It needs to start coming naturally. Again, it may not be there. You know, it may not be natural, but typically those things that you work at more and more and more, they become more and more natural in your lives. And that's kind of the point that we think about in this. It needs to be natural where we are concerned. In James chapter 3, James talks about the wisdom from above and contrasts that with the wisdom of this world. And he says in James chapter 3 and in verse number 15, after he talks about, "If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." You find kindness described in the wisdom that is from above. And it is contrasted with the disposition of those who are devilish. Those who are following the ways of the world and evil. Our disposition, our kindness needs to be demonstrated in our demeanor. And it needs to be demonstrated in our actions. And when I see that, I see the idea that we should not be hypocritical in our lives. It's a part of who we are. We do it because it's the right thing to do and we want to do it. And we're not doing it for deceitful gain. You ever see somebody, or you ever have somebody come to you when they're wanting a favor? And their demeanor's different than normal. You know, all of a sudden they're nice. All of a sudden they're kind. All of a sudden they're complimentary. But most of the time, no, they wouldn't give you the time of day. They treat you harshly and hateful. But they want something. And so all of a sudden they're kind. That's not the Christian. I want you to notice in Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs 26 and verse 23. Where we read, "Their fervent lips with a wicked heart are like earthenware covered with silver dross. He who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within himself. When he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly." He hides it. You know, if his normal disposition is not one of kindness, and all of a sudden somebody's kind to you, you need to ask, "What's up?" It's time to be cautious. But we ought to be of a disposition where, for some reason, and it could happen, but if for some reason we're not being kind, it ought to be unnatural. It ought to be unusual. And as brethren, because we know each other, we ask, "What's wrong? Is there something I can do for you?" And you know, because it's unnatural, we don't respond in kind. We realize that something has to be going on. And we want to help as opposed to hinder with whatever that struggle might be. When I think of acts of kindness, I think of Paul as he is on his way to Rome and they're shipwrecked in Malta. And it says that the natives showed kindness to them. And this was a ship with prisoners.
Yet they showed kindness to the people.
So that's what you see where there's a need for kindness. And as we begin to bring this letter to its conclusion, let us remind ourselves that we need to be kind toward one another. Number one, even when we don't feel like it. And that goes back to a lot of what we've said throughout this lesson. Even if you don't feel like being kind to somebody, you need to make sure that you're putting away bitterness and wrath and anger from your life. That's a command. We need to be kind toward one another, even when it is not deserved. And again, we think it's not deserved. You know, and I make the point because sometimes you don't know everything that's going on. And again, I tell you to think about God, and that's what those verses there are about Ephesians 2, Romans 6:23. Think about God's kindness toward us. And finally, we need to be kind toward one another, even when we disagree. If we want to resolve our differences with disagreements, we need to bear with one another in kindness. And with kindness, we need to sit down and be willing to talk with one another. That's not the time for harshness and bitterness. We need kindness. So as we can see, we need kindness in every aspect of our lives. So let us resolve that kindness is going to be at the foundation of everything that we do as children of God. So how is your kindness? Lessons yours. If you're not a child of God, at every service we offer an opportunity for somebody to make themselves right. If you've never obeyed the gospel, then as in a moment we're going to be singing a song here, number 557, what will your answer be? Take care to make sure that as you stand before God, you can answer, I am ready. If you've never obeyed the gospel, then why not repent of your sins? Confess Jesus as the Son of God and be immersed for the remission of your sins. And we're ready to help you with that if that is your need. If you are a child of God and you have not been living true to His Word and you need to repent of sinful conduct, go to God in prayer and confess your sins and He will forgive you. 1 John 1 and verse 9. If you need to publicly confess your sins for some reason, if you need the prayers of the brethren, we are here. If there's any way at all that you're